First Baptist Church and by Tall Grass Motors. I get the opportunity to talk with Connie Lavoie, not in a League of Women Voters forum, at least directly. The subject may come up, but we're highlighting the Friends of the Library. Good morning, Connie. Nice to have you here this morning.
Good morning.
And Friends of the Library, one of those organizations that just seems to quietly go about doing its job, garnering publicity when you've got something going on, but otherwise you're just there. You're supporting the mission. You're getting new mm-hmm. books, not necessarily physical books. Sometimes they're digital or other things, but supporting the mission of the library. Thank you very much.
Yes, well, I think you're right. That was a pretty good description. I'd like for more people to know about some of the things we're doing, and I'm one to really toot the horn if I believe in something. And the Friends of the Library, I was looking back, and it's been there since 1957.
Wow.
And, of course, the mission is to support the Bartlesville Public Library in many ways. Financially, we have donors, mm-hmm. but again, it's a quiet solicitation of donors. Then the fundraising, the Wednesday bookstore, I just think some people still might not know about the Wednesday bookstore at the library with used books, very, very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think it's 10 to 3 every Wednesday. And it's right in there as you go in on the right.
And I have picked up mm-hmm. some bargains in then, and after I was finished with it, they were used books, and kind of handed them off to a friend, said, here, no charge. If you want it, you can have it. And it's just a fun way to continue passing good words along.
It's green, too.
Yeah.
You know? and so then when you're through, you can donate them back. Or anybody can donate books, too. You can just take them to the library, to the circulation desk. So we want to encourage reading. We want to encourage use of the library's many services and mm-hmm. programs. And so today I just wanted to focus on a couple of programs that the Friends of the Library is doing this spring.
Okay, well, we can do that. But again, if you'd like to find out more, stop by the library. If you don't have a library card, for heaven's sake, go get one, you know.
Yes, I agree.
And stop by on Wednesday afternoons, and you're going to find some great bargains.
Yeah, it's kind of like a treasure hunt. You never know what you're going to find.
And you don't even need to know, I don't think they use it anymore, Dewey Decimal System. And
no.
Certainly don't need the card catalog. You can just walk in and see what's there.
And browse.
There you go.
I think people like to browse.
Yeah, what's coming up?
Well, the first thing I wanted to focus on was a series called Books Sandwiched In. And again, that's been around for quite a while. Mm-hmm. It's the third Thursdays this spring in March, April, and May. The third Thursdays during the noon hour. So the idea is that if you wanted to, you could bring a sandwich, and we'll have cookies. So you'll be in and out noon to one. And the first one is March 17th. I'm really excited about it because I think it could help a lot of people. The book is called Learning to Speak Alzheimer's, a groundbreaking approach for everyone dealing with the disease. And what's just as exciting is that it's being reviewed by Mary Lou Bork.
Oh, okay.
Who has just done so much to help caregivers in mm-hmm. the community working with elder care. And more than 4 million Americans suffer from Alzheimer's, and 20 million have close family members or friends with the disease. So the author, whose name is Joanne Koenig-Kost, she offers a very practical approach to helping people with Alzheimer's, especially focused on their emotional well-being. And she emphasizes relating to patients in their own reality. And I've seen this before in my own family, where when people are disoriented, sometimes you're wanting to help them, and you're quizzing them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what day is it? Or if they say something and they're thinking they're somewhere else, you're going to correct them. But really, it just causes them anxiety.
Yeah.
That's just kind of one example. I mean, people are trying, they want to help. She offers some specific guidance about how to help. And she speaks both from personal experience, because her husband developed Alzheimer's at a young age, mm-hmm. and she taught herself to cope with his condition. Now she lectures and advocates for patients.
And I think just because I lost my mom to Alzheimer's, I can relate. It's when an individual is, let's say, 85 plus, you could say, okay, well, part of it is normal aging versus just being confused, and then sometimes you don't recognize it. But in the late stages, Dad could no longer take care of her, and and it was one of these the record would reset about every 5 minutes. Where am I? Why am I here? Why can't I go home? Etc. etc. And it becomes very difficult. And I think a lot of help is required, and you know, to help those of us that are trying to do something for
exactly. You know. And I think that she will probably touch on, because you know there's so much. Alzheimer's is known now. I mean, mm-hmm. it's known in terms that when we forget something or we get confused, we, you know, it crosses your mind, you know, maybe this is a first sign of Alzheimer's. And I think that she will be able to address that. It's kind of hard to diagnose, but there's senile dementia mm-hmm. and then there's Alzheimer's, and both are age-related, and there's some similarity. So teasing that out is, that's a question. And I think that is something that she can address.
And I think last I knew, and then there may be new information out there, but last I knew, the only true diagnosis of Alzheimer's is by autopsy. So
exactly. And in many ways, since the symptoms are, there's so much overlap in the symptoms, I think the approach is probably very similar in the things she's going to talk about. And you touched on something that's just so important, is support for the caregivers, because it's grueling. Mm-hmm. It's 24/7, it's physical, it's emotional. I think the emotional toll is probably the very greatest. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes people, if they don't know where to go to help, and they're reluctant to ask for help. But I would say that elder care is just a fantastic source, a place to start mm-hmm. for any kind of help for your elderly loved ones.
I think it's a great place to start. And I get the opportunity to talk with elder care at least once a month here. We try to always focus on, there are so many resources for those of us that are, you pick the number. Over that number, they're here for us, 55 mm-hmm. plus, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I just lost my mother last year, and she did not have Alzheimer's, but she had a lot of physical problems. Mm-hmm. And we benefited from the services of elder care through a nurse who came and set up my mom's medications, just advice, the loan equipment, mm-hmm. Like wheelchairs and bedside commodes and all that practical stuff that all of a sudden you realize you need. Sometimes it happens suddenly.
Sure.
So, and I worked for Elder Care a long time ago for a bit. So, you know, it's just amazing that we have the services that we have in Bartlesville, and that's one of the really good ones.
So getting back to the sandwich mm-hmm. topic mm-hmm. on this one, sandwiching it in during the noon hour, and kind of getting an opportunity to learn a little bit, and whether we're discussing a book or in this case just a speaker with a great topic, mm-hmm. it's a good noon hour for us.
Yeah, it's and it can be not, the topics are sometimes more light. So the one in on April 21st, the second one in the series, is perhaps not as heavy, but it's also not a light one. It's and I heard a speaker on NPR talking about his book, and his name is Ari Berman, and the book is a new one. It's Give Us the Ballot: The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. And he sounded really good, mm-hmm. a good speaker, and I in connection with, you know, thinking about voting, because I'm working with voter services for the League of Women Voters, I got the book and started reading it. I still haven't finished it, but I'm going to be reviewing it.
Okay.
On April 21st. It's a finalist for the National Book Critics Circle Award, and it was named by the New York Times as one of the best of 2015. It might have been one of the best nonfiction books. But it focuses on what happened after the dramatic passage of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Mm-hmm. And he begins with the scene on the Edmund Pettus Bridge with the foot soldiers of Selma describing the scene. And John Lewis is recounting his experience there. He was just 25 years old then, and he was taking part in the march. And, you know, they told him to get off the bridge, mm-hmm. but they didn't. So he was repeatedly clubbed by a state trooper. And so he just describes what that felt like and what that was like. And then the book concludes in the rotunda of the North Carolina State House with the protesters of Moral Mondays. I don't know what Moral Mondays is. But I'll find out before April 21st, so I can cover it then.
Sounds great. And an opportunity to learn a little bit of our history, particularly as it related to, well, you know, most of us that I'm sure you're going to be talking to were alive, whether, you know, I don't care, grade school, high school, college age, whatever they were at the time when this was going on.
But I was so unaware and so not paying attention, but, you know, I was young, but... Mm-hmm. And I'm learning a lot, still a lot, because I can't say that I was always the best voter either, or certainly not the most informed, and I'm not even now. But I don't know, it just, I guess I realize more how important it is and that I'm willing to take some time to learn now. I have more time. I'm retired.
There you go. We will continue talking about the upcoming events and how you can get involved with Friends of the Library as we continue in just a bit.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, again talking with Connie Lavoy, again member of the board member for Friends of the Library, the books Sandwiched In, and previewing that series. And again, you mentioned the first one coming up April 21st, I think. And then,
yes.
And then we talked about other upcoming dates, and we still have at least one more to talk about in May, right?
Yeah, the last one is pretty interesting. The book is called The Relic Master. And it's a novel by Christopher Buckley.
Oh, okay.
And it's on May 19th. The big draw here is that it's being reviewed by Mary O'Toole, who has been doing book reviews for a long time for the library. And once people come to hear her, they want to come and hear her again. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they probably don't even care what the book is. We're really lucky to have her.
That's the advantage of finding a good speaker.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's really important, as we were talking about, that we want people who are good speakers as well as informed about the book. And this book, The Relic Master, it's historical fiction. So, you know, it's one of those where he takes, you know, you take events in history, things that really happened. But you fill in the blanks with, you make up conversations, and he made up a story. Mm-hmm. But you actually learn about the history, what it was like to live in Europe in the 1500s. You learn a lot of that from this book. So I did read this book. It features a 16th century relic hunter. Well, I didn't know what a relic hunter was. Mm-hmm. But a relic hunter, it was someone who, and this would really existed, who finds, quote, unquote, authentic religious relics, like the bones or hair of saints, for example. They come up with these somehow, and they sell them. They sell them to people with money because then they can take these and they can either display them and charge people to come and see them and touch them or whatever, mm-hmm. or they can kind of buy absolution with them.
Okay.
So that ties into the church back then and the way it operated. Well, this story that he made up is this relic hunter and his best friend, who is Albrecht Dürer. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but you know, he was a real person, a real
sure.
artist.
Yeah.
I know that he did some etchings or a pen and ink, or I'm not getting that right. But so this is a real historical figure. He mm-hmm. pulls into it, makes him the friend of this main character. And it's funny. If you've read anything by Christopher Buckley, you know that he can be funny.
Yes, and the most good fiction has a basis in fact, and the closer you can draw mm-hmm. in the reality, the fact, mm-hmm. the accurate or seemingly accurate picture, and yeah. then, like you said, elaborate it, take it further, fill in the holes, to weave a good story into it, you got it made.
Right, and... So they take some liberties and some take more than others, but that what I enjoyed about it was he's just, as he's describing them going about their business and their day, you learn about life and what living conditions were like and the culture and everything. Some of the reviewers commented on this book. One said, quote, an interesting combination of historical accuracy, brilliant dialogue, and a plot that races along. And another one said, relic trading, torture, love, the Shroud of Turin, and Martin Luther. And that sounds like somebody who could write a PR, for a movie now.
Sure, yeah. I can see that quote coming up on the big screen here.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was pretty good. And who knows, it might be a relative of Christopher's who wrote it, but you never know. But I did look at all those, and I found that it was irreverent and imaginative, and it did hold my interest, too. So that's Book Sandwiched In. That's the series. It's free and it's open to the public. You don't have to register. You don't have to sign up. You can just show up on these dates. You'll hear more about it in the newsletter at the circulation desk of the library. It will list the dates and the books and everything.
Well, speaking of dates, things are progressing. I know you were in roughly 6 weeks or so ago talking about the Creative Writing Contest, and that's moving along pretty well.
Yes, it's very exciting. We had over 60 entries, and those entries went to the judges, who are volunteers. They're avid readers and writers in our community, and so... That's in the final stages, and then the winners will be announced at the annual board meeting of the Friends of the Library, which is going to be on Tuesday, April 12th in the evening, I think 7 p.m., at the library. But as far as the Creative Writing Contest, these are all local writers submitting pieces that have not been published before. And they include young people, as young as 14. And so, of course, we're really trying to encourage people to write and, to be creative. And, mm-hmm. and you learn by writing. You learn more. And so that's the purpose of it. I'm really excited about it because I get to give out the awards, which are very small cash prizes. But... You know, it's a recognition. I think it's the recognition and encouragement, as well as the money.
Oh, absolutely. Now, the deadline has already passed as far as getting submissions, right?
But it'll come up again next year. As always, they can be getting ready for next year, too. I'd like to have even more entries next year. I really would like to have more from young people. And so I'm going to be focusing on that even more next year. In the next year.
And I forget, is there a public event actually recognizing the winners that we need to invite people to?
That's the annual meeting.
Okay.
And it will be the board meeting. There'll be a little bit of business. But then we will have our keynote speaker, Jan Dreiling. And that's really exciting, not only because Jan is so well known and respected in the community, but because she's going to be talking about the book that she is working on, mm-hmm. called The First Woman Suffrage Campaign, Kansas 1867.
Wow. Okay. That doesn't seem... I know that she is really going after the roots and the first, but that seems awfully early. You know, I mean, we're talking about just barely after the Civil War. Mm-hmm. That's tremendous.
Yeah, well, it took a long time.
Yeah. Well, this is a fun event that I know people will want to be at. Shake the hand of the winner, congratulate the winners, I guess, actually. Mm-hmm. And hear Jan. Just hearing Jan is a treat anyway.
Yes, it is. And again, the public is invited. It's free. We'll have refreshments. It's really a celebration.
Mm-hmm. And again, the Sandwiched In events, the first one coming up in just a couple of weeks on the 21st.
Well, the first one is March 17th.
17th. That's like this Friday.
The next one.
Or this Thursday.
It's yeah. Oh, my gosh. It is. Yeah. And April 21st. And then May, what is it? May 19th. But okay. The easiest way to remember would be the third Thursday.
Okay.
And so we're hoping to see lots of people there. We'll welcome you.
Thank you, Connie. Connie Lavoie with us this morning. And again, if you'd like to be part of the organization, here's one easy way for you to do it. Show up at the library Wednesday afternoon for the book sale and ask your questions about Friends of the Library. That's our community connection on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1. We'll take a look at the forecast right after we hear news from the Oklahoma News Network, 5 minutes before 9 o'clock at K1.
ONN News.